Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilbert, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, July 11th, 2021.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and a holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give up to you half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask for? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and of his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. And this, dear friends, is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who calls each and every one of us to change. Amen. Well, our message today comes to us from the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, from that rather obscure book, the book of Amos. Amos lived about 750 years before Christ was born. And God sent Amos to prophesy. He sent him to prophesy to the people living in the northern kingdom of Israel. And Amos lived about the same time as the prophet Hosea and the prophet Isaiah lived. And his message was pretty much the same thing. For Amos said to the people of Israel, repent, repent and change your ways. Otherwise, suffer the consequences. Suffer the consequences for your sin. And this was, of course, during the time of the two kingdoms, the kingdom of the south of Israel, the kingdom of the north, Israel, the kingdom of the south, Judah. Now, Amos' message wasn't very well received, and I think you probably could consider why that was. As a matter of fact, Amos wasn't very well liked. He told it like it was. He didn't sugarcoat that message. As a matter of fact, he didn't even tell the people what their itching ears wanted to hear. Not only that, but Amos wasn't a man of high living. No, he was kind of a low life. He wasn't of the court like the prophet Isaiah was. He wasn't a priest like Jeremiah. No, Amos was a shepherd. And we all know that shepherds in the first century was one of the lowest forms of employment, the lowest of the low. But this shepherd also took care of sycamore fig trees. So it's no wonder that the people of Israel didn't want to listen to him. After all, they thought, who or what gave this man the right? Who or what gave this man the right to speak to us like that? They wanted to send him packing. They wanted to get rid of him, all with his bad news and repenting and changing their ways. What sort of nonsense was that? Repent and change our ways? They thought, wait a minute, we think we're doing pretty good. We think we're doing pretty well. Oh, the people of Israel needed to repent, all right. They certainly needed to change their ways. But is that any different? Is that any different than today? You probably heard it said before, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And isn't that true? The more things change, the more they stay the same. Think about this. The world certainly has changed a great deal since the time of Amos. After all, Amos lived about 2,700 years ago. Things have changed dramatically. At the time of Amos, both of the kingdom of the south and the kingdom of the north, were experiencing times of great prosperity. Their military, their political, that was a time of strength for Israel and Judah. And though business was booming and boundaries were bulging, the people still were drawn to sin. They were still drawn to this sin, and sin still raged on. It was a time of idolatry, a time of extravagant and luxurious living, immorality, corruption, and oppression of the poor. Sound familiar? Sound a little bit familiar? It should. After all, things have changed. Things have definitely changed dramatically since the time of Amos, yet they have all still stayed the same. At least, we think so. We think so in this time and age. Well, do you think that the message of Amos, the message that Amos brought to the Israelites at that particular time, was just for the people in Israel? Just for the people then, 2,700 years ago? Surely, ancient Israel was nothing like our 21st century. Or was it? In our day, just as in the prophet Amos's day, people need to change. People need to change. I think we all can relate to that. We can all agree to that. Yeah, we need to change. We need to change our ways. Yes, the people of Israel continued to go their own way. They continued to go their own way instead of following God, instead of following God in the direction that He wanted them to go. In our Old Testament reading for today, God used a visual aid to get His point across, to tell Amos what was going on. Now the Lord was standing, the text tells us the Lord was standing by a wall. A wall that was built to be true, a wall that was built to be straight, a wall that was built to be strong. And then the Lord showed Amos this plumb line. Now, most of you probably are aware of a plumb line. If you haven't used one, you've probably seen one. They're used when we build things. They're used to keep things straight, to keep things level, to make sure that the buildings all line up. Well, Amos, or God, used this plumb line. He used this plumb line in order to measure his people, to measure the people of Israel. And guess what? He found them to be lacking. He found them to not measure up. They were out of plumb. And he told Amos that because his people didn't measure up, because they had not been following him, because they went their own ways, what was he going to do? He was going to bring punishment down upon them. He was going to punish his people. They were having to go into exile. Exile the people of Israel. The plumb line showed that the people had sinned. They hadn't followed God's decrees. They hadn't followed God's law. And God was going to come in and destroy it all. He was going to destroy their way of life and put everything asunder. They had not followed God's commands. They were guilty of greed, sexual sins, false worship. In other words, they certainly weren't living the lives that God had called them to live. They weren't living the way that God had called them to live. Now let's fast forward. Let's fast forward 2,700 years to today and see that while things have definitely changed, they've definitely changed over the last 2,700 years, but yet they're still the same. God's law is still the same. People, we are still the same. Sins are still the same. They've stayed pretty much the same. And God still uses his plumb line. He still uses his plumb line to measure us today. And friends, we don't measure up. We are out of plumb too. We all sin. Every single one of us sins. We all fall short of the glory of God. Now, how do we know we are sinners? How do we know we're sinners? Well, Martin Luther had an answer for that, and he wrote it down in his catechism. He told us that he knew he was a sinner by the Ten Commandments, which he said, I have not kept. Who out there has kept the Ten Commandments perfectly? I don't think any of us have, right? None of us have. We've failed miserably when we think about those Ten Commandments. Even when you think about the two commandments that Jesus said were the most important, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How are you doing on that? I think we fail, right? And how about the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we might love our neighbors as ourselves as long as they're lovable, right? But how many times aren't they lovable? But God says, love them. Love them as ourselves. We know that we haven't always done that. Yes, there are many things that we put ahead of God. Many things that we put ahead of God in our lives, like jobs, family, money, house, status, just to name a few. And Scripture tells us this. It says, if you broke one of the commandments, you might as well have broken them all. It doesn't matter. What does God say that we get? Because we haven't kept those commandments? Eternal damnation. That's what God gives us for that fact that we haven't kept those commandments. Eternal damnation. That's our reward. Yes, change. Change is something that's needed today, just as much as it was needed back in Amos' day. Yet no one wanted to change then, any more than anyone wants to change their lives now. After all, we look at our lives and we think, yeah, we're doing pretty good, especially when we compare ourselves to someone else, right? Rather than change, back in Amos' days, King Jeroboam's priest, Amaziah, he said, you know, just tell Amos to go away. Tell him to go away. Go back up to Judah and prophesy there. We don't need your prophesying in our place. No, we're doing fine without it. They thought that if they didn't hear that prophecy against them, that God wouldn't bring his judgment down, that they would be free and clear. People are still the same today. People still reject God. They still reject God's call to repent, to change their lives. Back in Amos's day, they trampled God's covenantal relationship with them. Yet God still loved them. God still called them back. God wanted to bring them back into a right relationship with him, and he gave them chances. He gave them second chances. Doesn't the same thing happen today in our lives? Think about the world today that we live in, and think about the way the world has gone. Life is no longer regarded as sacred. No, now it's just a choice. We see God's word as something that's just not relevant. It's just not relevant in our world anymore, in our so-called enlightened society. Oh, we've moved beyond that, haven't we? We've moved beyond those words. They were written thousands of years ago. They're not for us anymore. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as it makes you happy. It doesn't matter. Broken families, broken lives, broken morals. Men don't measure up to their responsibilities as heads of their households, and therefore wives no longer respect their husbands. God calls all of these things sins. He calls them for what they are. He doesn't mince his words. He doesn't sugarcoat them. There's nothing new. There's nothing new under heaven. God has seen it all. And God still calls us, doesn't he? He still calls us to heed his word and not to go the way of the world. Jesus says about that, he says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you. But because you are not of the world, therefore the world hates you. Friends, we are to do as God does. We are to do as his son does. Remember, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. It's the same today. It's the very same thing today as it was in Amos' day. The Lord God didn't want to punish his people back in Amos' day. In fact, that's why he sent Amos to them. He sent Amos to them to warn them of what was going to happen. He wanted to give them a second chance so that Israel could change their hearts and repent and turn away from their sinful ways and instead turn toward God and his plan, to turn toward the God who forgives. It's no different today. A change of heart. A change of heart is all it takes. For our God is still a God of forgiveness. Our God is still a God of grace. And God still wants all people to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. He's still in the business of giving second chances, third chances, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. It doesn't matter. However many it takes, God's heart is still for us. He still loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his one and only son into this world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, we're all sinners. Each and every one of us, we fail to keep the law. But friends, we have the saving gospel. We have the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans in chapter 7, verse 24, "What a wretched man am I! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through your Son, Jesus' Son, or for God's Son, Jesus." The same is true today. We can say that same thing. And friends, the angels still sing every time one sinner repents and hears those words of the gospel and believes in them. God has forgiven you your sins. He's forgiven your sins and mine through his Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have to suffer that same kind of exile that the children of Israel did, the Israelites did, because Christ Jesus already suffered that exile when his heavenly Father forsook him on that cross at Calvary. No, we're not perfect, and we don't pretend to be, but Jesus is perfect. He is perfect in our place. We're forgiven. We're forgiven, and that never changes. Thanks be to God, and to him be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son into this world to suffer and die on that cross, to take our sins upon him. So now when you look at us, you see us as pure as your Son Jesus is. Forgiven, we go on. Forgiven, we serve you. We thank you. And we pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.
There is no
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.